We are so happy to have you here this evening for our school board forum. Before I start thanking our co-sponsors and introducing our timekeepers and moderator, can I ask that everyone please stand and join me to the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of our country. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First, I would like to thank our co-sponsors for this evening's event. NABOR is proud to be a part of the Collier County Forum Coalition, and our co-sponsors for this event are the League of Women Voters of Collier County, Naples Better Government, the Greater Naples Chamber, and CVIA. If we could just give them a little bit of a round of applause, please. At the back table that talk about politics at the park, that is another event that the Forum Coalition puts together. I expect to see everybody there, and that is next week, on the 17th. I'd like to introduce our timekeepers. In the front, we have Ms. Kim Ellis and Mr. Ted DeGroot. You'll be seeing some colors flying as we go. We have a green for go, a yellow for a 30-second warning, and then red for stop. And it's at this time that I'm going to introduce our moderator. We're so excited to have Michael Wynn as our moderator this evening, and he has served as board chairman and president of Sunshine Ace Hardware in Naples, Florida, since 2005. Sunshine Ace Hardware first opened in 1958 and is one of the largest family-owned home improvement and outdoor recreation retailers in Florida. Currently, there are 15 locations delivering friendly, helpful service and quality brands to Pinellas, Manatee, Charlotte, Lee, and Collier County, as well as Sunshine Ace Handyman Services serving Collier and Lee counties. He has held various positions with increasing responsibility with Sunshine Ace Hardware since 1992. Mr. Wynn is the past chair of the board of directors of the Miami branch of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. He is also a member of the board of directors for the Florida Chamber, Leadership Florida Chair, and the NCH Healthcare System Second Vice Chair. Where does he find the time? I do not know. He is a member of YPO, the Florida Council of 100, and is the immediate past chair of the Florida Gulf Coast University Board of Trustees. He was awarded Hardware Industry's Top Gun Award, presented by the National Retail Hardware Association in 2014, finalist for the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award in 2014, Junior Achievements Business Hall of Fame Laureate in 2014, 2017 FGCU Alumni of the Year, voted the 2017 Gulf Shore Business Best Boss for a Large Company, and Business Observer's 2019 Icons of Business, the 2019 Naples Daily News Outstanding Citizen of the Year, and was awarded the 2023 Gulf Shore Lifeman of the Year. Sunshine Ace Hardware has been recognized by Gulf Shore Business Magazine as the best place to work for the last 5 years. Michael resides in Naples with his wife, Kristen. Please join me in giving Michael a huge round of applause.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Thank you to all of you that made time to be here tonight. So I want to welcome all of you to the Collier County School Board Candidate Forum. And the purpose of this event is to provide voters with an opportunity to hear directly from the candidates seeking office and to learn about their views and on issues affecting our schools and community. So each candidate will receive equal speaking time. Candidates are asked to respect the time limits and our timekeepers to avoid interruptions and focus their remarks on issues and qualifications for office. We also ask that the audience remain respectful throughout the forum. Please refrain from applause, cheering, booing, or other reactions so that all candidates have an equal opportunity to be heard. So my role today is to ensure a fair and orderly discussion, and my ruling will be final on all procedural decisions on time and format. So tonight, I'd like to welcome four of our school board candidates to our forum discussion. Mr. Donaldson, running for District 1. Mr. Mosher, running for District 5. Mrs. Mason, running for District 3. and Mr. Kaluzma for running for District 5. And as a reminder, members of the Collier County Public School System are elected in at-large countywide elections. So while each school board member seat is associated with the geographic district, the voters in Collier County vote for every school board seat that appears on the ballot, regardless of where they live in the county. So a couple rules to go over for the audience. I mentioned one of them. No cheering, clapping, booming, or verbal reactions during candidate responses. But also, please silence your cell phones. If possible, even the vibrate can sometimes be, distracting. So please power those off. Would be even better. Please do not interrupt the candidates or myself. Also, please be respectful. And any questions that you submit, please make sure that they are related to school board issues. We have no cards in front of you. We have a lot to get through, but we are going to try to get a few questions in from the audience. So please, if you have questions you'd like to submit, fill out this note card, and someone will be around to pick those up. Please understand, too, that if we have anyone that might be disruptive in the audience, which I'm confident will not be the case, we reserve the right to ask you to leave. So, again, thank you again for joining us. And Mrs. Mason, you drew the lucky straw. Back there in the kitchen, you get to go first with your opening statement.
Here we go. All right. Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for attending this event tonight. Oftentimes, people overlook school board, but it's, in my view, one of the most important positions. A little bit about me, for those of you who don't know, I am a mom, proud mom of two teenagers. I was a school teacher. I taught high school when I first moved down here, actually 20 years ago this summer. I was at Palmetto Ridge. After having my children, I decided to embark on a crazy journey to establish and found Mason Classical Academy, where I served as the board president for 13 years, all in a volunteer capacity. I did serve on the school board from 2014 to 2018, which for those of you who've been around, I know it was a very different experience than probably what you have seen now from 22 to present, which I'm really proud of my service these 4 years. One of the things when I got elected, I had a plan of ways to improve our school district as a whole. The biggest thing was reestablishing the board's constitutional role in governing the school district. I think there was some confusion as to who actually is running the school board. And now I feel like it's very obvious that the superintendent runs the operations, the day-to-day of the school, and then the board has our separate role of governance and policy. So that was one of the big priorities. I spearheaded redoing the mission and vision statement of the district, established board priorities right out the gate. There's a lot I feel like we've accomplished in these first few years. I would like an opportunity to give 4 more years to this school district. I'm sure there'll be an opportunity for me to talk more. Other little personal thing about me, I also coach group fitness. I'm very competitive. I compete in 5Ks locally, and I have 6 rescue animals. Big fan of rescue. So anyway, thank you again for being here. My time's up.
Thank you so much. And Mr. Ballasol has a good question.
Thank you. Well, as Ms. Mason said, thank you all for coming out tonight. You know, we do these forums pretty regularly, and sometimes we're in a room with 4 people, and that's all they care. But I love that you care about what's going on with the school board. My name is Jeff Donaldson. I have been married to my wife, Bethany, for 31 years. We have 5 kids. Our oldest 3 are married. Our youngest just graduated from high school, and I'm looking forward to empty nest a little more than my wife is. She's realizing she's stuck with me now. But I serve as a pastor here in Naples, Church of Christ Community Naples, and we love our community. I'm here to serve. That's the calling on my life. It is to serve. Is to serve people. To serve. And I want to serve on our school board. We help a lot through our church. We help a lot with our local schools. Our church is located about a mile from Manatee Elementary School and Manatee Middle School. And they are a strategic partner for us with backpack drives and school supplies and teacher lunches and all kinds of things. So I love doing that. My mom was a public school English teacher. and she would not always be pleased with my use of the English language, but I do try to get the best I can. And our oldest daughter is a school teacher. She wanted to teach in the public school as well. My wife and I, when our kids were young, helped get a private school started that's grown quite large now, and I served on the board there. And I'm excited to serve our students in Collier County. Thank you for being here. Thank you for hearing us out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Mosier. Good evening. Thank you all for coming. My name is Tim Mosier. Over 4 years ago, I didn't think I'd be sitting up here. I didn't think I'd be running for political office. I spent almost over 30 years in transportation. I worked for Ryder Driver Services. So I've kind of, you know, been with people and around people. I went into semi-retirement in January of 21. Decided to work with my wife. I've been married to my wife, Debbie, for 38, it'll be 39 years this summer. I have two daughters, a stepdaughter, three grandkids, and they all live on the East Coast. So my biggest thing, I got into the school board because it was during the height of COVID. I didn't like the mask idea, so I went and started seeing, and I didn't like what the school board was actually doing. They would have their mask on. If someone said anything, they'd get up and they'd walk out. It was just a disaster. So then I went to my other school board meeting. And then July of 21, I decided, hey, you know, step up or shut up. So I ran, and it was a good run. I'm not the type of person who gets in front of people and starts talking, so it takes a lot for me. I've been doing this for 4 years. I just enjoy it. I mean, I get out there, I see what the kids do. I spend a lot of time out in Immokalee helping them out, making sure they go up. I've done truancy courts. Tomorrow I'm leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning to the Greater Florida Consortium, that's one of it, and the School Board Association up in Tampa. It's a 3-day conference, so I'll be up there for 3 days, just finding out the laws and making sure everything you can say and do. When I was running, you think you can do a lot of things that you can't do, and, you know, we do the best that we can. We have to interpret everything that they say up in Tallahassee and just make sure we have the policies and just follow the laws. So basically, you know, I'm just here doing it. I've enjoyed doing what I'm doing. I enjoy working with the kids. I enjoy getting out there in the community and just making sure we have everything that we need. Looking at the finances, one of the big things that my colleague and I did is, you know, teachers pay, so we've been pushing that. So I hope I'm done, so.
Thank you so much. And Mr. Poulsman.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here. My name is Walter Luzma. I'm a former Collier County Public School student. I walk these hallways, sat in these classrooms, high-five many of our teachers, and I think the school board deserves someone that experienced it firsthand what it's like to be in our Collier County Public Schools. I come from a family that has teachers. My brother was a teacher in Immokalee, and I've seen him struggle, as many of our teachers do, on a daily basis. I'm just here so to be here on behalf and represent our teachers, but I also want them to increase their compensation and pay, because they are a vital backbone of our community, of our schools, and many of them are with our students and kids more than we are sometimes. They are vital, and we need to work on retaining the best of them. A little bit about me. I, at my church, I teach the band. During election season, I volunteer my own free time to just inform those people out in Rockley who can. I work as a translator, and I'm just glad to be here and try to outreach and do what I can to help support the Collier County community. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So our first question is going to go to Mr. Mosier. The question is, what experience, perspective, expertise, or skill do you bring to the school board that you believe differentiates you from the other board members, and how does that difference affect board decisions or priorities?
Being a parent, having kids that run through the school system, I just want to make sure that everything got taken care of that we needed. So I basically got on the school board. One of my top priorities was teachers' pay, so we did very aggressive pay raises. We had a superintendent retiring, so we had to do this search for the new superintendent. She's been doing very well. We just renewed her contract last week. And just caring about the kids, getting out there. And, you know, 20% of what we do is budget and budget and policy, and the rest is just community relations, letting operating school system is doing. We're in the top handful of schools in the state, so I think we're doing very well. In the top age for teachers, so we have a lot of stuff accomplished. We just want to keep everything going.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Donaldson.
Yeah, Mr. Mosier said, if 5 kids going through school, and we take our education seriously, so we've decided different things on different years, sometimes in homeschool, sometimes in private school, sometimes in public school, and we care a lot about what school our kids go to. We spend a lot of time at the schools. One of our daughters graduated from Lindley High School, another 2 from Park Island Academy, so I care a lot about that. As I said earlier, I spent a long time on board of a large private school, K-12, learning to understand policies, how they work, procedures. And then I spent probably 20 years of my life as an executive pastor at a church of about 14,000 people, managing 7 locations. So learning how to manage people, how to manage large budgets, how to work with people, how to look at data and facts and learn how to make the best decision. I've been in leadership for a long time, and I'm looking forward to lending the skills that have been entrusted to me to help make Collier County Schools an even better place to be.
Thank you.
Yes, I kind of mentioned this before, that I've been in the public school, so that experience and firsthand perspective, it is very beneficial in understanding how we can change and better our public schools. Our public schools right now have received an A grade, and we want to continue that. Many of our students have graduated with diplomas and certificates in a lot of certificate programs and vocational school programs. We would love to increase that. Over a 25% increase in our graduates having diplomas and certificates, so that they're already ready for the world once they graduate and walk across the stage. To have these things accomplished, we must invest in our educators, invest in our staff, and care about their well-being and make sure they can afford to stay in our communities, because many of them cannot.
Okay, thank you.
All right, as I mentioned, I was a teacher before. I've been actually involved in education for over 2 decades at this point. I think with my experience with starting and founding a school from the ground up, it essentially was a crash course in education policy, laws, facilities, marketing. I also had to learn a lot about finances, budgeting. But I think what you'll be hard-pressed to find is someone in my position serving in the charter school world. I know sometimes there's issues regarding school choice, and I'm sure we'll touch on that today. But I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who has spent the amount of time and effort and energy doing this for zero compensation. I've done it for my kids. It's been a benefit to hundreds of other students, and I'm very passionate about it. Thank you.
Thank you. For our next question, we'll start with Mr. Caruso. And the question is, Collier County Public Schools has a history of strong academic performance. What specific strategies would you support to improve student achievement for all students while also closing achievement gaps among student groups?
Yes, I kind of referenced this before. Increasing our graduates' certificates in dual enrollment in the CNA program. A lot of them know about Lorenzo Walker, but not all of them go to that vocational school. These programs are very beneficial. A lot of the economy of Florida in our community are directly correlated with programs these schools provide. So that is very important and critical in making sure that we can continue to improve our schools and our graduates and the students in our schools. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. One of the things I'm proud of that I spearheaded was bringing back explicit phonics to our school district. It's critical for our students in order to be literate. Explicit phonics is a proven phonics program. It's also a great remediation tool. So in terms of closing the gaps, this tool that we have right now, and we're already proving success with the increase in reading rates, but it's a phenomenal remediation tool for even kids who are struggling readers, dyslexia, definitely going to close those reading gaps. We also, as Mr. DeLuzmo was talking about in reference to certificates, we've done a lot with Lorenzo Walker. The superintendent really spearheaded changing what the model was supposed to be. That way students who aren't going to maybe colleges or universities have pathways for success in careers right out of graduation. And that is tremendous for our students.
Thank you. Mr. Rozier.
I think the dual enrollment's been a very big thing we've been talking about. We, Lorenzo Walker, we now have, I think it's well over 600 kids dual enrollment in there. And this year, I think there's, I don't remember the exact number, but it's up a lot. Also, when I did graduation at the Mockley High School, a week later I did the high-tech graduation out there, and I'd say at least 20 to 25 of the students that graduated the week before were getting dual enrollments. So they went the following week and it got there. It's kind of nice seeing one kid one week getting their high school diploma and then they're getting the certificate the next week for welding, mechanics, child care, whatever. So it's, you know, it's very good that we're doing that. And we're just a lot open. And I just think the school system's doing much better than, you know, it was before. And I just think the phonics that we, Ms. Mason put in is very good. And we just, you know, everything's going much better.
Yeah, I love the question. How do we continue to have strong academics? I think have strategies to close the gap. I think one of the areas that we really need to target, continue to target, is elementary schools. Kindergarten, first, second, third, these kids, we really need to teach them the basics of reading so they have it. A lot of our elementary students are ESL students. I think it's even more important. We should have more urgency to be able to help those kids to be able to read. We all know that if we can read, we can be productive citizens. And so having an opportunity, I think, you know, the school board has done a good job of continuing to put some metrics upon administration and teachers to ensure, even when we get the bonus time, you know, did we hit what we were trying to accomplish? I love Lorenzo Walker. I love iTech. I think there's lots of kids who can, that those trade schools basically are so valuable for you to get an education, to be able to go out and work right after. You know, one of my kids wasn't a college student. He wanted to go right into the workforce, and he didn't have an opportunity like these students had. It would have been amazing for him. So that's great. Those are great programs.
Great. Thank you so much. And Mr. Nelson, this next question is going to start with you. Teacher shortages continue to affect districts across Florida. What strategies would you advocate to recruit, retain, and support high-quality teachers in Clark County Schools?
Great question. I was last night up in Ave Maria, and I got to hear Dr. Riccadelli talk about this a little bit, our school superintendent, who is doing a great job with the county schools. And some of the even issues with Lee County has forced, they're getting a lot of applications here. I think she said, and one of the current school board members, can correct me on the number, there's maybe 93 openings with more than 500 applications for 93 openings. That's really strong. It gives you an opportunity to continue to choose the best teachers. I agree with Mr. DeLusma. We have to continue to figure out how do we pay our teachers the best we can. The school board's done a great job in the last 3 or 4 years to really increase teacher pay. But that's got to continue to be a focus of the school board. How do we manage the budget so we can continue to properly pay teachers? And then I think the last thing is we want to look at teachers and ensure, are they fully certified to be able to teach in these classes? I meet with a lot of teachers, and one of the things they're frustrated about is there's in some classrooms teachers who don't have the qualifications, and I think we need to look specifically at those and replace them.
Thank you so much. Mr. Rozier.
Can you repeat the question again?
Sure. Teacher shortages continue to affect districts across Florida. What strategies would you advocate to recruit, retain, and support high-quality teachers?
Well, we have top paying. We're in the top two or three in the state, so I think that helps out tremendously. We have about 91 available openings. I think there are over 790 applications for that. So we have people coming over from Broward that are actually coming over here to drive Lee County and around there. So I think we've accomplished that. I just think we're doing a great job. The superintendent knows what she's doing, and I think that's, you know, a part to it. We've done our best. We're debt-free. We're growing like crazy with, if you drive around Collier County, all the new growth, all the developments, all the roads coming in, we're just opening up since I've been on the board, we opened up a high school, and now we've done a elementary, and we're doing the second elementary out in Ave Maria. So, you know, we're doing a great job. We're not studying out teachers and getting them like other areas are.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. right. So teacher retention and recruitment was one of our five board priorities with human resources. So that was definitely a priority that we hit the ground running with. We did a baseline survey with all of our staff to see what's the morale, the basic morale across the board. We've since done other climate surveys with our staff and have seen the growth in morale. So that has improved drastically. As mentioned, teacher pay increases. We were very aggressive in the first year on the board, 9%, second year, 12%, third year, 11%, plus a $1,000 bonus. Obviously, this year, you probably heard we couldn't be as aggressive, but we are not facing what other counties are right now, which is major job losses. And so our retention recruitment data is posted monthly, so you can actually see we're very transparent about it, and it's very positive. Thank you.
Yes, we are. Clay County is one of the top school districts in terms of pay for our teachers in the state. But the state is nearly last, I believe maybe in 50th in the country. So it's like being the fastest horse on the highway. I mean, it's good in a sense, but we can pat ourselves on the back in a sense, but we still need to work on the pay for our teachers so that they don't go out of state. That's why I support a referendum brought forth by our citizens to increase teacher pay dramatically, and as well as staff in the school. Because again, as we know, the teachers and the staff are the backbone of our school systems, and we are very proud of our school system, and we do not want to diminish that anyway.
Thank you. So Mrs. Mason, this question is going to be directed to you first. Beyond physical security measures, what additional steps should the school board take to ensure students and staff feel safe and supported on campus?
Well, we've seen a lot of laws since Parkland coming down from this state, and we also have a tremendous relationship with CCSO. We have done a lot to follow. We have new door locks on all the doors. We have locations in all the rooms to protect students in case of emergencies. We go through these lockdown drills. I know it's a sensitive topic, but I do think the biggest thing that we have here that not every county has in Florida is having deputies, armed deputies in every school. That not only are they there just to, you know, protect the students, one of the biggest things they do is also build relationships with students. So in terms of safety and security, they learn a lot. Kids share a lot of information. We've been able to prevent things that have been heard, threats against the schools, and I think that has been tremendous in protecting our students. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Beyond physical security measures, what additional steps should the school board take to ensure students and staff feel safe and supported on campus?
Yes. Safety starts with trust, and for our students to be comfortable with staff and members of the school, so that when there is issues or problems, they can report that either anonymously or through the counselors. Doing this would ensure a safer environment for all of our students, and to ensure that issues and situations don't happen in our community. And we would hate to see something along those lines happen. And I am very proud that we do have all deputies in our schools, armed and ready and well trained.
Okay. Thank you.
I love the relationship Clay County Public Schools has with the Sheriff's Department. Since we've been on the board and Tallahassee's dictated, although every classroom gets locked, single entrance points, anytime that comes into the school, you have to show your ID so we know who they are. We have cameras throughout, so about 80% of everything in every single solitary school has a camera, so in case someone happens to walk by, you can identify what's going on. The relationship with all the sheriffs that work in all there are excellent with all the kids. They get along great with them. Every sheriff in the Collier County Sheriff has a badge to get in case something were to happen. They can get in there and get it taken care of. So you have minimum one deputy in every school, and you could probably have at least another 5 to 10 deputies in there if something were to happen within less than 5 minutes, which is great.
Thank you so much, Mr. Donaldson.
Yeah, being new to learning all about the schools, I'm quite impressed with the security procedures that the school has. When you see the school resource officers at every single location, we've gotten to know our school resource officers at our school, you know, on my first name basis. He's, you know, my kids love him. And so that's a really big deal. To know that every door locks automatically, they do checks. They check three schools every single week to make sure that no doors could open. If you do, Dr. Riccadelli's in trouble. Anywhere from every classroom has a corner where the kids go to where you couldn't see them from the door. Like, it's really buttoned down, and I'm impressed with it, and I think they're doing a great job.
Okay, thank you so much. The next question will go first to Mr. Mosier. If elected, what would be your top budget priority, and what existing expenditure would you be willing to reconsider or reduce to fund it?
Right now, all our funding comes from Tallahassee. They adjust our military rate, and we just kind of have to go with what they have to do. Right now, we have less money this year than we did last year. We just got the budget, so I haven't been able to sit down with our finance guy. But we're basically, since we've been on the school board, we've eliminated over 300 positions that didn't touch the children. We're cutting back on everything we could possibly cut back on, and we're just doing a great job. The superintendent looks at everything and just sees what we can do. Another priority of the superintendent is the books. Every Tallahassee says we have to keep doing the books. The manufacturers and the book publishers cut back, so we're trying to extend that out so we don't have to keep spending millions and millions of dollars every year on the same stuff. English doesn't change, math doesn't change, so we've been working on that with the superintendent.
Thank you, Mr. Dollison.
Yeah, I think obviously if I'm a person like you all who cares about education, I think the front line of education is the classroom. The teachers we have in the classroom have to be taken care of first. I love our administration. I love the people who support the classrooms, but those teachers have to feel most cared for. And while the school board's done a great job, we have to consider looking at how we can fund those teachers to remain in those classrooms and we don't lose them. The other thing, I spent a long time yesterday with some people at headquarters looking at the budget. I think long term, there's going to be some potential shortfalls even within the operations budget in terms of capital expenses. The last three schools, Mr. Mosier mentioned them, the high school and the two elementary schools were paid for with cash. And so we got to think about do we have funds to continue to manage the growth coming to Collier County that would be really important.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. I just ask you to speak loudly and maybe we can get some batteries.
Yes, so budget priority, I think we should make sure we have a transparency in our budget. Luckily, our school board paid off a substantial amount of debt our school system had, and I applaud that. The only issue is that we weren't sure where that money came from and how much we had remaining. But I would love for that be so that we can make sure we allocate the proper expenditures to back into our students to make sure that we focus on student outcomes, teacher compensation, and make sure that all the staff in our system, in our school system, is supported so that they can remain in our school system.
All right, so one of our top five board priorities was fiscal responsibility. So right out the gate, the superintendent and her team created a spending reductions group so that we could look at wasteful spending. So I do want to point that out. As far as transparency, I will say we have been extremely transparent and have been very open about the fact we are spending reserves. We're not in a deficit, but we are having to dip into those reserves. And as it was mentioned previously, the state funding has been very low compared to, it's not even keeping up close with inflation. So those are definite concerns. So as far as budget priority, I would say really looking at return on investment for any of the programs we are using to ensure that these are effective instead of spending money. We did get rid of some of those programs when I first came on the board that were a waste. I would say another place we can reduce is probably some of the technology. We can slow down some of that. But definitely, I just want to be transparent. We are spending some reserves, and that comes down to the state. So talk to Tallahassee.
Thank you so much. And I just want to remind everyone, if you have a question, you filled out your note card. If you could please hold your card up, and we'll have someone around to pick up those questions. And again, we'll try to find some time to answer a few of those. So So the next question, we're going to go to Mr. Kaluzma for the first response. What role should parents play in curriculum decisions and school governance, and how would you improve communication between families and the district?
Yes, that's a great question. So parents will parent, and I believe teachers should teach. The parents should have a voice and express their concerns to the school boards and the teachers whenever they arise. But I do trust in our professionals and our educators at the first-hand basis with our students, where they can make sure they're informing the students and teaching the students properly and following the state and local laws, make sure that they fully educate them on the curriculum that is provided. But again, we do want our teachers to teach all the curriculum, and we want our parents to make their voices heard whenever they feel to do so.
Thank you.
All right, one thing I always talk about is that parents are partners with us in education, with everything that we do. They are allowed to be involved in terms of SAC committees at every school, and they can be involved there. We encourage parental involvement through PTO committees, and I think we have a tremendous amount of parents who are very much involved. In terms of curriculum, we do have our team, you know, and the board working to choose curriculum, but I will say we are following the best standards. That is one way that has prevented a lot of the crisis of things coming in outside of the schools, of indoctrination. That's just simply not happening. And but again, parents are very much involved in this partnership that we have, and I feel like we've really brought them into the fold, especially when you've got people on the school board who actually have kids in the schools.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Just about every school board meeting, I tell parents, get involved. Their kids grow up fast. I mean, I'm a grandfather already, so time flies. You know, get out there. Go to their schools, go to their events. You know, hit sporting events. Just try to get out there and do as much as you can. And every one of our teachers is willing to talk to any parent about any issues or problems they have. So if they have any concerns, bring it up to them and talk to them. You know, it's two parts. I mean, they only have your kids about 1,400 hours a year. There's over 8,700 hours in a year. So please get involved with them, help them out. Get them reading. 50% of our kids coming into the schools don't even know how to read, so we have to play catch up. So, you know, it's a parent and it's a partnership with the parents, because we want the kids to do as best as they can. And, you know, we work with them, and we'll do anything we can to help them out.
Thank you, Mr. Donaldson.
This is a great question, because I believe as a parent, it's my responsibility to choose where my child's going to have the best opportunity for an education. Train up a child in the way they should go, that's my job. And so I love this idea of partnering with schools. Trust, but verify. And I want to be a part of my kid's life. I want to know what's happening at the school. Parents should be able to look at the curriculum, flag something that they feel they don't like. Go have a meeting with your teacher. Certainly, we don't want a school system that says, of course parents, please don't ever show up. But we want parents' involvement. I think the parents in the school make it better. When I was a kid growing up and we had class parties and the moms would show up and the dads would show up, it was better. And I think we should be involved. My wife and I have been team parents for the football team for a long time. I was assistant cross-country coach for my daughter's team a long time. We're very involved in our schools because I want to know what's going on. And I've always felt welcome, and that should continue to happen.
Okay, thank you. And we're going to go to one of our audience questions. And Mr. Donaldson, this will be to you first. It says, do you think it is important to visit schools as a board member and view the interaction of teachers with students and teachers with administration?
Absolutely. It's an interesting thing here. You know, I would say I'm running for District 1. So, you just think, well, that's Lely and Manatee and Tommy Barfield. But you're actually responsible for all the schools. And so I've already stated it within my first year, it would be my goal to visit every school, to have an appointment to see every single school, all the public schools and the charter schools, to make a visit. Honestly, I'm the kind of guy who wants to have planned visits and then later on some surprise visits, because I don't want to always just see the best possible performance you can put on because a school board member is there. But look, I do trust what's happening in the classrooms, but we have to be on site. We have to see the facilities, the state of the facilities, what the kids are learning. I want to sit in on lessons and hear what the teachers are talking about. I think it's very important.
Thank you. And Mr. Mosier.
Every year I hit at least every school, at least in my district, at least once. I try to hit other schools also. But it's just getting out there. I'm not a gotcha person. If there's a problem, I want them to talk to the teachers, talk to the principals, and find out what the issues are. And usually there aren't any. So we do a good job taking care of that. And I just want to make sure that we're there to support them, give them everything they need. And I just think it's nice. They like to actually, when you show up at things, it's kind of nice. I mean, I've been showing up at football games out in Immokalee for the last 4 years. I know Ms. Mason here has hit a lot of sporting events too with her kids, and it's just amazing to get out there and see them and just be a part of it, show they actually care. So I think that's what they like most of all, just getting out there and, you know, making sure that they have everything they need and show them and ask questions, find out what their problems are and what they need and any concerns they have. And usually they're pretty straightforward with it, and it's kind of nice to work that out with them if there's any issues, but there's not a whole lot. That's about it.
Thank you, Mrs. Mason.
I did want to share this. So my term this time has been so different in terms of visiting schools. Before, it seemed like they didn't want us there. And with the new superintendent and the rapport she's built, the morale is so high. I do have planned visits. I go to all the schools in my district, and then I usually pick others. It's no dog and pony show. It's about building rapport with the administration, visiting classrooms. And what has been so incredible is how much trust that has been built over these few years, and really how candid the conversations have been. I would have never got that in my last term. They would have just sugarcoated everything or just told you the bare minimum. They have been very honest about things, sometimes things that are concerning, that we can address and work together. So I've been truly impressed with my school visits. And again, it hasn't been a dog and pony show. It feels real. And genuine in those visits, and I think it's important. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, I do think that school board members should visit every school, at least in their district, but every school in the county as well. We should make that time and make that effort. I've been to a few of the schools. I haven't got the chance to speak with all the staff or teachers and whatnot, but I have spoken to the teachers union, and they tell me their concerns, but I'd love to have scheduled visits where I can meet with them, shake their hands, and see how the classes are being run, see how the students feel about their schools, and hear the concerns right from their lips. But that is important, and I can't wait to do that. I went to the iTech graduation too, and I saw how joyous that crowd was, and I'm excited for when the school season starts next year to make sure I visit all the schools that I can.
Great, thank you so much. We'll move on to another audience question, and this will first go to Mrs. Mason. Please comment on how you think the separation of church and state as articulated in the U.S. Constitution should be preserved in larger schools.
That's definitely a good question and something that has come up. I mean, first and foremost, in fact, I was just having this conversation earlier with someone here in the audience that, you know, students are allowed to pray to a constitutional right in schools. I think there has been a push to push a religion within the school. One of my philosophies in my view, and at Mason Classical, it is a public school. There is no pushing any one religion. I do believe America is free, you know, about what religion you practice. But one of the things I said is you teach the virtues, you read the great books, you study history, you learn good versus evil, and these principles, you don't have to force. I've said it from the dais, I'm not gonna force religion. It is, as Mr. Donaldson said, it's a parent's role and responsibility. And I think there has to be a balance there, but you can, am I getting this up? Okay, all right, thank you. I just saw the red, sorry.
Thank you, Jack.
I hope I answered that well.
I got distracted and I wasn't doing my job, so thank you. Mr. DeLuzman.
Yes, there should be a full and complete separation of church and state in the classroom. There is, unfortunately, we do see that some programs and institutions are seeping into our public schools. And we see that in like PragerU and other institutes that are now,
don't know if mandated, but they are used or are allowed to be used in Fort Lewis schools, which saddens me in a sense, because a lot of these programs, since their inception, was found that has an explicit bias. So we need to make sure that stays away, and then we continue to verify and push the Constitution that says the separation must happen and be made, where students can and are free to practice any religion they want, and the schools do not support or condone one religion only in the sense of like teaching it for history. I think that's okay to teach it for history, because it's important to know the different backgrounds that happen in our society.
Thank you so much. Mr. Lozier.
I like religion. I think it's, you know, look at your money. It's a God we trust. So I think we should have that. I don't think that the government has the right or has the right to dictate you, but I think it should be available to be out and see what's around. So I think you should be able to experience all the religions, know what the religions are, because if you don't know what different religions are, how are you going to learn? And it's important learning education. I believe it should be there, but I don't think it's the government's job or the school's job to dictate it. As long as it's made available so they can do it and they can learn, I think that's fine. All right, I've been buildings called the Dr. Martin Luther King Building. So, you know, he was a minister and civil rights. So I think it's, you know, we've done a whole lot there. So I think you know, we should have it. I think they should be available there and just be able to do it. But, you know, we shouldn't be forcing it onto individuals. You know, you can lose it, you know, like history lessons. Just one more.
Thank you, Mr. Dawes.
This one felt like it was for the pastor. The word separation of church and state actually doesn't exist in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. But I understand the concept, and no, I am not running to make Collier schools a Christian school. That's not why I'm running in any way, shape, or form. But I do think at Easter, you can say what the story of Easter is. At Christmas, you can say what the story of Christmas is. And at Hanukkah, you can say what the story of Hanukkah is. And I don't think we should be afraid to tell kids what's going on. On the dais, in front of the school board, is the state motto that says, "In God we trust." And I'm not trying to put the Ten Commandments back on the wall, but I have said publicly in the campaign, I'd like to bring a prayer back to the school board meeting. We do it at the federal government, we do it at the state, we do it at local. A school board is one of the few places we don't do it. And I think just acknowledging that we need to use some wisdom from the God we trust in would be very helpful.
Thank you so much. This next question will first go to Mr. Mulzer. Student mental health concerns continue to rise. What should the district's role be in providing mental health support while maintaining its primary educational mission?
Last school board meeting, we ended up with the people that did the mental health to make sure that they had everything they need. We're trying to get them a little bit more pay. And that way, we do training through the entire staff so we can identify any problems with any staff members, children, or just any problems in general. So we basically go through the training, we make sure that anyone that needs it, whether it's a student or a teacher or even people around there to do it. Our sheriff's departments are all trained for that. Most of our teachers, all our teachers are trained for that. And we just, you know, we look out for the mental health of everyone. A lot of things happen just in life. You don't know if the parents are getting divorced. Different things happen with other kids in school that might be bothering a child. So we just do our best to do everything we can, and we have professionals that go around and help them if they need that.
Thank you, Mr. Donaldson.
We definitely need mental health counselors in the schools. It's one of the big struggles in the world today is kids who struggle with mental health. We need to get them help on the front lines. Look, I don't think the school can or should be all things to all people. We're becoming more and more the nutritionist and the healthcare and the medical care and all of it. Look, I know there's families who can't afford it. There are great government programs outside of the school that can help parents with these things. But I want to see our well-trained mental health counselors at the schools meeting with the kids who really need it, of course, in conjunction with parents. But I believe that is a frontline issue. I'm glad the school district has it, and I am a big supporter.
Yes, mental health is very important and critical, and we need to make sure that our students feel safe and they're not suffering through bullying or any other way they may be unsafe. This means that we should increase training for all staff, all counselors. This also means increasing and having other aspects and ways for them to express when they do feel unsafe or do feel pressure and can express what their mental health status is, whether that is a monthly review where everyone in the school writes down something, because we know that there can be some stigma when a student leaves to go to the counselor. So we don't want bullying of that nature causing any mental health strain on any of our students, because we know when students feel unsafe, feel pressured, they perform worse in school, in class and in school. And our main goal and main objective is to make sure student outcomes are as high as they can be.
Thank you so much for this question.
There are requirements from the state regarding mental health and what we need to provide for our students. One of the biggest things that I think is critical is making sure that our parents are involved in that those communications. I think oftentimes we have seen, not so much here in Collier, but in other states, other districts, where parents are not even informed of what's going on. And I have to say, as a parent with two kids, I would want to know what is going on, and I think it's wonderful that our schools have a lot of support and resources for our students, but I'm definitely big on making sure there is still, again, that partnership with the parents, and they are involved and aware of what's going on. Thank you.
I just want to acknowledge we've got a lot of great questions from the audience. Unfortunately, we've only got time for one more question plus closing statements. So I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that all of our candidates are going to be staying afterward. So I would encourage you to ask some of your great questions to them directly. So for our final question, we're going to start with Mr. Luzma. Looking ahead 5 years, what would success look like for Clark County Public Schools, and how would voters measure whether you would help achieve it?
Success would look like higher teacher retention, continued success in our public school rates and our system, lower student complaints of bullying and unsafety, and more of our graduates graduating with not only a diploma, but certificates in our various vocational programs or CNA, or dual enrollment, all of these aspects. This is what a successful tenure would look like in a few years.
Thank you.
All right, I think I told you earlier in my opening statement, I am very competitive, and I've always said from the dais I want Collier County to be the number one school district, not just in the state of Florida, but in the nation. We have already increased just since I've been on the board. We went from 7 to 6, so we are heading into that direction. One of the things I would, academics is one of our first number one board priorities. I would say I'd love to see increased improvement across the board and all benchmarks for our students in achieving academic success. So that would be something I would want to see, and also continued prudence in our fiscal responsibility and balancing our budget. Again, I feel we've been extremely transparent, and I recommend visiting our website. There is plenty of information and videos and things that you can see, but I would definitely want to see our budget balanced and strong in 5 years as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Since we've been on the board, our curve has gone up. We're doing better with our placement in the state with our schools. We're doing better financially. We paid off some debts. We're trying to take care of all that. I mean, we're heading in the right direction. I mean, we have a great superintendent. We're doing a lot of dual enrollment. We have kids graduating with other degrees that are getting out in the job market right now, which is great. The biggest thing right now is I'd like to see, Tallahassee's talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. We need to get some more money from them so we can have the money to pay our teachers, more money. I mean, we're limited to what we have. I mean, I just can't make money in here. 2 years ago, we did a referendum, so we moved some of the money from capital to the general fund so we can pay the teachers. That's how we're doing it right now. And I'd like to see more money coming in. Our capital millage was 2 mil. That was in 2008. They dropped it to 1.75, now 1.5. So I'd like to see, more money from Tallahassee so we can take care of our students. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Collison.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd like to see our B schools become A schools. I'd like to see our school district in 5 years be in the top 5 school districts in the state of Florida. I think that's very attainable. I'd like to to see more students graduating from Lorenzo Walker and iTech and advancing that. I think one of the things the school board is going to have to think in 5 years, they just signed a superintendent to a 5-year contract, and in 5 years there's going to be a decision on whether she wants to be around or take a break, and that could be a big, big thing. She's doing a great job, and so what does the future of the superintendent's office look like 5 years from now? So those are a few things I think we have to look at.
Great, thank you so much. Now we're going to move to closing statements, and Mr. Bluesma, you drew the lucky straw to be able to go first on closing comments. We'll start with you.
Thank you. Again, thank you everyone for being here this evening. We know you took time out of your busy schedules to make it, and we appreciate that greatly. The main focus of our campaign and to do everything we'd like to get done revolves around our teachers, revolves around our educators, and having this elite force that is directly with our students on a day-to-day basis, and to make sure we keep them and have them and bring in more higher qualified and better qualified and just great people is to increase their compensation, their pay, because we have to respect them as the professionals they are. Our campaign strongly supports a referendum that our citizens are putting on the ballot to increase that compensation, and we'd like you guys to support it as well and support the campaign so that we can make sure that we continue this success of our Collier County Public Schools. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Mr. Donaldson.
Again, thank you for coming out tonight and hearing all of us. And I think citizens caring about what happens in the school district is phenomenal and kind of odd. And I look around the room and I see lots of us don't even have kids in the school district anymore. But you understand your tax dollars are going there. You understand the future is enrolled there. And so it's a really big deal. Thank you for being engaged. If you want to know more about our campaign, you can go to our website, votejeffdonaldson.com. I'm excited to bring some fresh eyes, a leadership to the school board. I'm excited to join these two and support what's happening on the school board and continue to advance some of these initiatives that we've been talking about here. Continue to grow education, see those test scores come up, continue to maintain that A rating, get to the next top 5 in school districts in the state of Florida, and I believe we can do it together.
Thank you, Mr. Mason.
All right, strong public education is so critical, not just for our state of Florida, but for our country. And there is an effort to dismantle public education. And I know there's a lot of people in this audience who are very aware of what's going on. I appreciate you being here tonight to listen to us as we are I'm running for re-election for the school board. But I highly recommend that you pay very close attention to this governor's race because it is very critical to the future of education. I would ask that you support me in another 4 years. I think I've been a bold and courageous leader. I think I've proven myself to some of the people in this audience who campaigned against me, and I think I've seen what I'm really all about. So I appreciate you giving me a second chance to prove myself. I think we have done great things in these last 3 years and almost 4. I would like to do 4 more years for our students in Collier County and represent all of you. So hopefully you'll hire me again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rosier.
I'd just like to ask everyone for their vote. It's been a great 4 years. The board right now, we're probably about 99% on the same page with everything. I'd love to be able to pay your teachers more, but it comes down to we don't have the money from the state. I love public education. That's why I'm here. I think we're doing a great job. I want to continue moving. And with this homeschooling and everything else they do, there's no accountability for a lot of theirs. The kids that have been outside our school system that come back to homeschool, they're below grade level, and we have to spend time getting there. So if you're going to do that, there has to be some accountability for it. So I'm just pushing for accountability for everything we have. I like the way our school system is going. I think we're going in the right direction. I'd love to get more money from Tallahassee to pay our teachers more and just have that. So we've done a great job. I want to continue doing it for another 4 years and just ask for your vote. Thank you. If you need anything, it's Tim for Collier. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So this concludes our Collier County School Board Candidate Forum. I want to thank all of our candidates for their time here today and helping better inform our voters and their choices in this race. And I think they did all a fantastic job. 1-minute response times are tough. So thank you. You guys really made my job easy. And thank you for that. Also want to thank NABOR for hosting us, as well as all the volunteers who helped, worked hard to help us make this event possible. And I want to thank our coalition as well, being Greater Naples Chamber of Commerce, CBIA, NABOR, League of Women Voters, Greater Naples Leadership, and Naples Better Government. And finally, a huge thanks to all of you and all of our audience members for taking time out of your busy schedules to be here and to be better informed to make a choice, an informed choice, in this upcoming election. So thank you all, and good night.
Interesting.